Hello, and thanks for joining us. My name is Joel. I'm one of the pastors at Christ the Rock. Now, obviously, I'm not at church today. I'm on location because I want to show you something. I want to begin today by talking about these, the Ten Commandments. You may have seen there's monuments like these all over the city. They're easy to overlook, but they're here to remind us that God has spoken to us and given us some clear guidelines to live by. So let me tell you the story behind them. It's actually pretty interesting. So about 3,500 years ago, there was this group of people numbering about 2 million. I mean, imagine 2 million people camped out at the base of a mountain between Egypt and Israel. There's a guy that leads them. He's a guy named Moses, and they're waiting for him to come down off the top of the mountain. And he's up there meeting with this mysterious God who just delivered them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. And it's a wild story of the Nile turning to blood and a plague of locusts. The Passover happened and the Red Sea parted, this incredible story of delivery. And what Moses is doing, he's signing them up to participate in a special covenant relationship that would turn them into a unique people group. It's chosen for a special task. They were picked to be the genetic, prophetic, and cultural vessels that would carry the seed of the Redeemer into the world. The seed of the Israelites would carry is none other than Jesus, who would undo all the devastation caused by Adam and Eve. But that wasn't going to happen for another 1,500 years. And so the job of the Israelites was to survive and to remain a distinct people according to God's plan until that day came. Now, to ensure that the people survived and prospered, God gave them a set of instructions. So when Moses came down from the top of the mountain, he carried with him two tablets. They were stone, and they had 10 stipulations, or 10 commandments, that God had chiseled in with his very own finger. He wrote it with the finger of God. These 10 commandments are the foundational ideas that would create a unique culture and society among the Israelites. Now, they're more than just a set of rules. I know they sound stodgy, but they were God's guidance for avoiding the devastating effects of idolatry, of keeping families intact, keeping our mind and bodies healthy, and the whole fabric of society strong. I mean, these are the very values of God. Now, we know them. You've probably heard them. The first few of them have to do with our relationship with God. And so they talk about we don't take his name in vain. We have no idols. We don't make an idol of other gods. We don't worship other gods. The other six are all about how we treat each other. So we obey our mother and father. We don't kill, commit adultery, steal, lie, and covet. But there's one that stands out as different, stands out from different from the rest. It's about how to relate to others and culture and time all at once. It's the fourth one. It's called Sabbath, and it starts like this. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's a command of God. You see, to ensure that people understood this commandment in particular, it has more explanation than all the others. Here's what it says. This is the command of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner in your towns. For 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. All of that he etched with his finger. Now, a few things to notice about this commandment. It's not just for the Israelites. The Sabbath was for everybody. Children, servants, male, female, even animals. He was that specific. Were commanded to obey Sabbath. It's that important to God. God wanted rest for everyone and everything. It's that deep of a value for God. Another thing to notice is that God modeled Sabbath before he commanded it. So the verse says, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Rest is an important activity to God. He doesn't need to, but he does it to be with us. He does it because he wants to be relational. Now, Ben pointed this out last week. We were created on the sixth day. On the day our life began on earth, it began in rest, not work. God rested so he could spend time with his creation. So humanity began by resting in the finished work of God. That's God's divine order. Rest before work. Sit before walking. So of all the things, and it kind of boggles my mind, of all the things that could be in God's top 10, resting one day is in there. And so God gave these commandments, all 10 of them, and he expects us to obey all 10 of them. They're part of a special covenant relationship between God and the Israelites. Now, you might be thinking, why am I talking to you about a covenant relationship between God and Jewish people? That's a great question, especially when most of us aren't Jewish that are watching. We're Christians and we live under a different covenant. And we know what the Bible says. It says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith," especially faith in the life and death of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, and we know the law doesn't save us. But that doesn't mean that the law is void of value. The law still contains the bedrock principles for living a happy life that's pleasing to God. Not only that, Jesus spoke really highly of the law. Here's what he said. He said, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Then he went on to say, "Whoever practices and teaches these laws will be great in the kingdom of heaven." And so the law may not save us, but according to Jesus, there's still commandments that we need to follow. And for the most part, I'll say we do. You know, we agree. I think most people agree with the Ten Commandments. We don't look at these and argue with, you know, "I shouldn't kill anybody." We believe that. We know that a life filled with lying and murder and adultery, that doesn't work. We teach our children that. We know that if we do these things, we're going to suffer the consequences. You know, we've learned not to violate these laws. It's to our own detriment if we do. And I can say that confidently. For most people, save one command. There's one command we almost universally ignore, and that's Sabbath. In fact, I'd say we even teach our children the opposite. And I'm not just talking about your everyday Joe. No offense to Joes. I'm talking about the church. And here's why I say that, because honestly, I hardly know anybody who practices Sabbath, inside or outside the church. You know, I rarely, if ever, have heard a sermon on Sabbath, and I've almost never been challenged to practice it, not personally. And I'll be honest, until recently, I've not practiced Sabbath. It's not been a part of my life, and nobody's ever said anything, ever. And I think I've been suffering for it. I think I've been missing out on something. And so here's what I don't understand. If we generally agree that the other nine are worth obeying, why do we ignore this one? Why do we assume it's not costing us dearly if we ignore Sabbath, that we're not missing out on something? Because I personally think, there's a cost to ignoring it. And I think it's actually pretty severe, even on the level of an epidemic. And we're not talking about it. It's costing us dearly. Now, I look around at the church and our world in America. We're such a busy, stressed out people. Stress, that's the epidemic. And it's taken its toll. I just did a little work to do some research on stress in America. And it turns out that stress-related disorders have been on the rise for decades, according to the CDC, in America. According to one expert, stress is a factor in 5 of 6 of the leading causes of death, including heart disease, cancer, and accidents. Now, one estimate says that 75 to 90% of all doctor visits are related to stress. I mean, that's crazy. And I was wondering, of all the other countries in the world, I mean, where does America stack up with stress? Turns out, found a study out of 143 countries, America's the 5th most stressed out country in the world, tied with Iraq, who's been at war for decades. I mean, it's crazy to me. And I point all this out to say, we've got a problem on the level of an epidemic and it's costing us, and all signs point to it getting worse. Now, I wouldn't be so bleak if there wasn't good news. The good news is there's a cure, and it's been hiding in plain sight in our Bibles and right here, and it's Sabbath. It's something the founders of our country respected, but it's something we've slowly, I believe, forgotten. And the good news is that there's a rest available to us. God's rest is still available to us right now. And I want to open our Bibles up and look at where God talks about that. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Hebrews chapter 4. And as you do, I'm going to get back to church because it is cold out here, and we'll pick it up back there. See you in a minute. All right, that's better. Now back to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a book almost totally dedicated to explaining how the old covenant relates to the new one. We spent 10 weeks in this in the fall. I loved that study. On the 4th chapter, there's an entire passage addressing the principle of Sabbath rest. Here's what it says, chapter 4, starting in verse 9. "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." And so, right there in the middle of the New Testament, the author declares that the Sabbath rest is still waiting for the people of God. That's us, by the way. We're the people of God, his church. So God's rest is still a standing invitation. But according to this passage, entering that rest is an act of obedience. In other words, you can choose not to enter it, just like the Israelites did. Let's go back to their story for a moment. Once they received the Ten Commandments, things for them went downhill from there. So God was ready. He's like, let's go. Let's take the promised land. I want you to enter my rest. Obey my commands. I've given all this to you. But they refused. They said, no, we're scared. There's giants in the land. We don't want to go in there. We don't want to trust you. And so they did not enter into God's rest. And they wandered around that desert for 40 more years. Disobedience and fear led to an entire generation of Israelites dying in the desert. And sometimes you think, how could you do that? You think they're foolish for doing this. You know, you just saw God part the Red Sea. How could you not trust him? And so sometimes we look down on them, but we have to remember they were slaves. They thought like slaves for almost 400 years, which is much longer than America's been a country. The Israelites served as slaves to the Egyptians. That's like 12 to 13 generations of slavery. Imagine how ingrained that thinking was in their minds and in their hearts. And an Israelite slave, they didn't have any rights. They didn't have the ability to control their time. Slaves just do what they're told to do. They can literally be worked to death. They have no rights at all. If you read Exodus chapter 5, you get a glimpse of the severity of the slavery in Egypt. In fact, the oppression of slavery was at its worst right before they were delivered. So nobody in living memory among the Israelites, they had no sense of a day off or what true rest felt like. They had no conception of rest or freedom. So you can understand why they struggled to enter into it. But that doesn't mean they didn't still miss out on the rest. They still missed out on it. That's why Moses added something to the fourth commandment when he's speaking to the second generation of Israelites. He's talking to them about God's law. They're about to enter into the land, and he stands up, he retells the law, and he adds this to it. He says, remember, to the fourth commandment, he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Moses wanted the second generation of Israelites to remember that Sabbath was a weekly reminder of their emancipation from slavery. Emancipation means freedom from the oppressive social and political restrictions they were living under. Sabbath is a totally countercultural revolutionary idea from God. It actually set the Israelites apart from every other culture in the world. Nobody had anything like that. See, Sabbath is an empowerment of the mind and body and of the spirit. It's a liberation from tyranny, and God wanted them to embrace that gift. But he also said, this is a command that I intend you to obey. And if you refuse to obey it, it'll come with some suffering. And so the first generation of Israelites, they refused to enter God's rest. And as a result, they died in the desert. But the second generation, they obeyed God under the leadership of Joshua. They took the land in faith and entered into God's rest. Let me ask you a question. What generation of God's people does the American church resemble? Yeah, I think it's the first. Actually, I'm almost certain it is. So like I said earlier, here's how I know. There's very few people that I know that actually practice Sabbath. But I know hundreds of people living stressed out, overworked lives, and I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I often feel like a slave to the busyness of my calendar. It can feel oppressive. You know, one of the silver linings of this dark COVID cloud, for me at least, if there is a silver lining, has been the clearing of my calendar. Now, I've enjoyed a slightly slower pace of living. There's things I've just been able to take off of it, and I'm already starting to dread the thought of going back to the same breakneck pace of life that I was living before. You might be too. Well, what if we don't have to? What if we don't have to step back into the bondage of busyness? God says, my rest is still available, and we can enter. God's still saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think it's time. I think it's time we take God up on his offer. And the main way that we enter into God's rest is to obey the command of Sabbath. That's why it's one of the Ten Commandments. To practice Sabbath, this is what it's all about. You spend 24 consecutive hours every single week at rest. It doesn't necessarily matter what day, but that it's 24 hours. That means you don't have to work. One day a week, you don't have to work. Instead, you can feast and play and delight in all the things that bring you joy. Sabbath is actually meant to be enjoyed. It's a gift to us. It's a day where your soul can be filled and your mind renewed. It's a full day of delight that God wants you to enjoy, all of us. And it's so important that God wants you to actually plan all your other 6 days around it. We're in a series called Sit, Walk, Stand. And Sabbath is the most basic way we sit. It's the first way that God invited us to really sit. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to talk more about Sabbath, what it is and how to practice it. But for today, the main thing I want you to consider is including Sabbath in your life. Here's my challenge. I want to challenge 100% of people who call Christ the Rock their home to begin practicing Sabbath. So if you're listening, that's you. And I'm giving you this challenge because I believe it's God's best for your life. But I'm also giving it to you because I'm asking you to obey a commandment of God. And to obey is up to you. I encourage you to do it, but I know it's easier said than done. My guess is most of you, you're sitting there going, no way. There's no possible way that I can take an entire day off given my busy schedule. Pastor, come on. There's no way. And that's what I said when I was first challenged to practice Sabbath. So let me affirm something. You're probably right. There's no way you can practice Sabbath given how busy your life is, the way you've been living it. But again, let me just say, if there's a silver lining to this COVID-19 situation, it's the freedom in our calendars. It's the ability to rethink our lives and our priorities. That's why it's such a perfect time that God has given this series to us to preach and teach at this time. This is the perfect time to be challenged to begin obeying Sabbath. So if you're willing to consider Sabbath, let me give you a warning. It won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Again, it won't be easy. But it will be worth it. Hebrews 4:11 says, we must be diligent to enter that rest. And here's why we need to be diligent. See, the enemy in our culture want us enslaved to busyness. The evil one controls our culture, and he wants us either really busy or dead, because either way, we are no threat to him. And you might be thinking, oh, it's really, you're being dramatic, Joel, with that statement. Okay, I'm not. Let me tell you about a phenomenon happening all around the world, but especially in Asia. The Japanese government had to do a little research. Something weird was happening in their country. And so they did an independent study into this thing that was happening. They get a report from a guy named Mr. A. That's to protect his identity. He's a case study of something ugly happening. Well, Mr. A worked several years at a snack food processing company where he averaged like 110 hours a week. Just for perspective, that's like 3 full-time weeks in one or 7 straight 16-hour days. He was found dead at his desk. The victim of a heart attack. He was 34 years old. That's crazy to me. And he's just one of many examples of this happening all across Asia. The Japanese call it karoshi. Google it sometime. It's a wild. You get all kinds of stories like this. The Chinese call it guloosi. They had to actually invent these words to describe this increasingly common phenomenon of working yourself to death. I mean, people are dropping dead at their desks as a result of working insane hours under intense pressure with little or no rest. I don't know what that sounds like to you, but to me, that sounds like slavery. That's what bondage to busyness looks like. And I think that's where our culture is headed. You know, you might ask, why is this happening in Asia? Well, one theory is that they don't have a Judeo-Christian background. There's no sense of rest. There's no conception of Sabbath there. Now, when America was founded, we had a Judeo-Christian value system. That's what it was built on. And our founders took that seriously. You know, those values influenced our culture and our laws. You know, have you ever heard of blue laws? You know, blue laws were part of the early U.S. legal code. So they restricted certain activities on Sunday. And they did that to recognize the Sabbath, but also to protect workers. It was a freedom given to us. You know, and when I was a kid, I still remember, there were stores closed. You know, they closed early or they weren't open on Sundays. Sunday actually felt like a day of rest. You know, not a lot happened on Sunday. So you hung out with family and you rested. But something's changed since I was a little boy. You know, Sunday feels like any other day now. You know, the only stores closed on Sunday are, you probably know, Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby, which are doing really well, by the way. But sports teams, you have to practice. You have games on Sunday. That's required when that stuff's happening. You know, we're expected to answer emails and text messages at all hours of the day. All I hear people saying is that there's more to do than I have time to do it. There's no sense of rest or Sabbath in American culture anymore. It is gone. We're living a 24/7 lifestyle of busyness and stress, and it's killing us. Church, it's bondage. And the sad thing is that God's people, his church, we're going right along with it. It's time we reclaim Sabbath rest for God's people. Again, I'm inviting 100% of people who call Christ the Rock home to begin practicing Sabbath. God's calling us to obey it, and he's doing it out of his love and kindness for us. If you're thinking, oh, I don't want to include something else, look, it's not meant to be oppressive. It's meant to bring you freedom, rest. I mean, God wants to give you something called margin back to your life. He wants you to rest with him, to delight in him and others and enjoy life and just have some space. I mean, he wants us to trust him that we can accomplish his purpose for our life in 6 days of work with 1 day of rest better than we can in work in 7 straight days. God's calling his church right now to get into the rhythm of Sabbath rest. That's why we're teaching Sabbath as part of sit, walk, stand. Sabbath rest is the primary way that we sit and allow God to fill us. It's also a foundational part of abiding in Christ. It's actually necessary for abiding in him. You know, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, if we don't sit and rest 1 day a week and let God fill us, we're not going to have the strength to accomplish God's purpose for our life in the other 6 days. We need to sit before we do anything and incorporate that into our lives. My vision for everyone at Christ the Rock is that we come back from this COVID situation, and we will. I want us to come back stronger. And part of that strength is going to come from a commitment by his people, the people of his church, to obeying the command of Sabbath. God's inviting us to rest. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to fill us. The question we have to wrestle with is, will we let him? So will you consider, for your own good, including Sabbath in your life? I know it's a big decision. But to help you with that, we're going to spend 2 more weeks on Sabbath. And if you think that's a lot, I think it's too short. There's so much to talk about. Next week, we're going to talk about the gift of Sabbath and why it's such a delight, why it's so awesome. And the last week, we're going to talk practically about how to practice it. You know, how do you actually do it? And we'll give you questions each week, you know, to help you wrestle with it. Because I'm guessing you probably have a lot of questions. I'm not going to address them all today, but I want you to ask them. So if in the comments you have a question or a thought about Sabbath, would you put it in there? We'll try to answer that personally or get to it in one of the upcoming sermons. But to end the day, I want to leave you with a couple of questions to wrestle with personally. Or better, if you're watching with a group of people or with another person, would you talk about these? And here are the questions. But what is it? What about the command of Sabbath actually excites you? What about this command feels stressful and unrealistic? And then what's one thing in your calendar that you want to change when things get back to normal? So wrestle with them, think about them, and begin to pray, Lord, is this something you want in my life? And ask him, show me how I can incorporate this, because he wants you to rest. He wants to fill you. He wants to strengthen you. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this church. And I ask in this time of COVID that you help us reorganize our priorities. Help us to see how we can fit Sabbath into it. Give your church a heart for it. Give us a vision for what rest would actually look like and what it might look like to practice it. I pray for families who are on different pages with this to help us get united as families to practice this together. But I pray that you, Lord, let us rest and slow down so your church be a different people. We look different. That you free us from the bondage of busyness and allow us to rest in your love and in the finished work of Jesus. I ask this in your precious name, the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks, church. We'll see you next week.